The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Defense is going to be really creative. I know what you see in the last three preseason games is like that much of a gigantic playbook, but we've got some cool stuff on there. And, you know, I think there's, you know, some different ways to sort of think about blitzes and pressures and movements. And, you know, that's always the interesting part, you know, that I don't think I knew about coming to a new program is like the football 101 is the same, but like learning a new style and a new like philosophy of how to attack offenses, I think has been really cool. And it's just it's sort of opened up my own toolbox of how I understand football and, you know, can kind of get the answers to the test a little bit.
Michael Hoyt of the Bills. That is the last football game he will play until the middle of the year as he's going on the shelf with a suspension. So he's one of those Bills that will not be available week one against the Ravens. Get to that in a second. Just real quick, though, because we opened the show talking about Tommy Fleetwood winning his first ever PGA win yesterday.
Yep.
We had a whole conversation about how confused we are about the FedEx Cup. Nate, the whole time during that conversation, didn't realize Fleetwood won the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, I just assumed he won the Tour Championship, which I didn't know was also...
You thought Scheffler won the FedEx Cup, right?
Yeah.
Which would have been understandable.
Would have made sense.
He had the most points.
Yeah.
But he did not. No, Fleetwood won the FedEx Cup. I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it over there. So there's Michael Hoyt. The Bills and the Ravens. We are less than 2 weeks away.
Yes.
From the opener, Sunday Night Football. So
13 days.
Yeah. A lot of injuries. Michael Hoyt suspended. Larry Ogunjobi suspended if he even plays. Or if he even makes the team, I should say. And Tre'Davious White. So there was an update...
Of sorts, right?
We don't really know exactly what's going
on. We apparently have started going to hockey terminology with lower body injury.
Yeah, saw that. Lower leg. They at least gave us leg.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we knew it was leg. Lower leg injury, no timetable for his return yet. I would expect we're going to get a further update at some point during the week. But I don't know. Did it not sound pessimistic towards his chances of being available?
Well, I'll say this. Two things that stood out to me that I guess have given me some confidence he's ready.
Yeah.
Dane Jackson, who is their veteran that they brought back, knows the system maybe better than anybody, was playing deep into the fourth quarter. Doesn't appear like they're preserving him.
All right.
For a situation. And, you know, I think it's probably because, you know, Dorian Strong's going to make the team. But you wouldn't think that they're going to throw out a fifth round pick.
Dorian Strong?
Yeah.
Sixth round in his
regular season debut on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
He would be the guy, or it's, you know, Jamarcus Ingram. I guess it could be that too. But
could be.
Sal had a tweet yesterday that, you know, had they thought that they needed Dane Jackson to play, maybe Dane Jackson's making the team and Jamarcus Ingram isn't.
Mm-hmm.
If they think that Trey White might be healthy enough, then Jamarcus Ingram makes the team over Dane Jackson because he can play slot corner, outside corner, and like their dime level safety. So I don't know. I guess I think we'll know more when the 53 is ultimately released. But the other thing I think that gave me some confidence is that if it was truly a serious injury, I think we'd all know by now. If it was an ACL, if it was an Achilles,
maybe.
If it was going to keep him out half the year or the full season.
Yeah, sometimes those can take multiple days,
yeah,
though, right?
Like, but we would know it was a non-contact injury or they're concerned that it's season ending. You would have gotten some level of that.
Yeah, if we don't get that today especially, then I would start thinking about it being...
It happened Thursday.
Yeah.
Happened Thursday.
I was going to point out that like when Vaughn tore his ACL in Thanksgiving, we didn't find out that he was out for the year for 2 weeks.
But we did find out that he had an MRI, and there was some conflicting reports about whether or not the ACL was actually torn or not.
And we knew what they were looking at.
We knew
they were looking at the ACL one way or another, which is whether or not it was torn.
To me, so. I'm sure this is what I'd be willing to bet. It's some kind of like mid-foot sprain, ankle sprain, something along those lines. That would be my guess.
So if he's... How much does it matter to you whether he's out there against the Ravens? to how confident you would be. I mean, it depends on what your starting place is. I mentioned that I've had a couple of people in recent weeks say the exact same thing to me about that Ravens game. Like, yeah, you know, I love their chances this year getting the one seed, even if I think week one might not go their way. Because the Ravens are, it's some of the stuff I hear is the stuff that I don't usually see is all that valuable. Like the fact that it's a revenge game for Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
How motivated they are to get revenge on
week
the playoff
one of the
game.
Regular season. I don't know.
Yeah, like and Lamar has said a couple things about that, but he's been asked directly about the Bills. What's he going to say? He's going to reference last year's game. So I don't know. Like I would be more afraid of them because of what they actually are. It's just Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Yep.
That is it not the biggest challenge offensively in the league going into the year? Is there another offense that you would say is more challenging for this defense going into week one? Because this is a defense right now that has, whether it's number one for you or it's number four for you, whatever. It's one of the top offenses in the league for multiple seasons.
Yep.
And you're going into it with, let's look at who they added. Two guys that aren't going to be there because they're suspended. A rookie first-round pick who's probably not, almost certainly, right?
Not gonna
Harrison,
be playing. Yeah.
Not going to be playing because of an injury. A depth corner signing. We wondered if he was shot. Then he had a pretty good camp.
Yeah.
Trey White was on the field in that playoff game. And
we weren't
afraid of him being on the other side.
No.
And he's injured and might not be able to play.
Yeah.
A second-round safety last year that has not done almost anything up until Saturday with a couple plays.
Their defense doesn't feel that much different than last year.
No, what are the biggest differences? Bosa, couple of rookie defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Who knows what they'll give you. I'm excited about Deion Walker from what he did on Saturday.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's going to make a giant impact against the Ravens. Right, like that's my question. How much do we feel better about them from what they've added, for week one specifically? I think for the playoffs, that's different. But for week one, I don't know how different they'll look. And what they were in the playoffs was a defense that needed to force turnovers. They would not have
and
won that game defensively without turnovers.
Could not get off the field on third down. But what I do think I'm interested in is what Michael Hoyt said leading up to the segment.
Yeah.
Which was his deployment, I think. I think the defense will look different when Michael Hoyt's back in the lineup. Because I think the blitz packages he's talking about, the creativity, I think a lot of that's going to be some Ryan Nielsen influence, some simulated pressures, different blitz packages. And having a Michael Hoyt, I think, does give them a pawn, a sort of like somebody they can move around the board a little bit. And so I do think by week seven, if you look back at week 14 compared the weeks that preceded him getting out of suspension and the 6 weeks that he was on suspension, I do think we'll look back and say they look like different defenses. A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I think
they need Joey Bosa to play well in the beginning of the year.
He's the biggest difference. He's easily the biggest difference. I don't even know how much he'll play.
And they're
right away. Managed workload.
Do you think they've got him on the Von Miller
diet?
Maybe. The Von Miller diet.
The difference, though, would be that Von, it felt like at the end, could only play on third downs.
Yeah.
And, like, passing situations. And it's why you look back at his snap count by game. Like, he played, I think it was 9 snaps in that regular season game in Baltimore last year.
Yep.
He's not built for that matchup the way that.
Yeah, no.
The way that
not.
Bosa is more. Bosa, you could play him first down and second down,
yep.
Right? And you could play him in all situations. It's just how much you want to play him because of injuries, is it? But they're going to be starting, right, Dane Jackson at corner?
I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think Dane Jackson's going to make the team.
Whoever it is.
Yeah. Jamarcus Ingram played a lot of football for them last year and was fine.
That might be true, and they might love Jamarcus Ingram for a certain role, but I watched Kyrie Elam get cooked over and over and over and over again in that AFC Championship game, and they never went to Ingram. They never put Ingram in.
Yeah.
We were wondering if they would do that immediately. Like, hey, Benford goes out. Will Ingram go right in? Oh, no, it was Elam. And they never switched. As bad as
they
it looked.
They did never switch. Yeah.
So I don't know what they think of him as an outside corner. His impact last year, like when he makes that pick six against Miami, I think he's playing nickel corner for the Bills. Because Cam Lewis had to play other stuff and like they had so many injuries. So I don't know. Like, does it also even matter? to you who their number two corner is for that game. Baltimore is scary, but they're not as scary as
Who's the number two corner going to be covering?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, they're scary for their run game.
Lamar. Ghost of DeAndre Hopkins?
Probably it's Hopkins because and it's Bateman.
Zay Flowers is going to play from the slot.
So it's Hopkins and it's Bateman.
Yep. And we don't know if Isaiah Likely is going to be healthy for that game. So they might not have the two tight end 13, you know. Charlie Kohler's a nice player, but Isaiah Likely is their best receiving threat as a tight end.
Right.
How much is this defense banking on Matt Milano playing 17 games and being the player that we saw maybe over the last three or four games of the regular season?
At the moment, I would tell you that...
That's a lot of it?
That is their most likely path to taking a big jump defensively, especially early in the year. Like, sure, they added a bunch of pieces, and they've got the rookie lineman and Bosa, but that linebacker duo, it feels like has the talent to be one of the best duos in football, and they've played... Can I count on one hand how many games they've played together?
Not a lot. Yeah, not a lot.
They've not been on the field much. So it's a big if. You know, Milano not only being healthy, but Milano being 80% of what he won when he was a first-team All-Pro. But if he can be, then sure, I think they're a linebacker core, especially against a team like Baltimore. They're going to want to run the ball on you.
They're still undersized, though. I mean,
they're undersized, but you know, I feel better about Milano being in there against a team like that than Dorian Williams.
Yeah, yeah. So. I would agree with that.
803-0550 is the phone number. I got a poll up on this about your worry level or your confidence level in the defense for the beginning of the year. Because, listen, that Baltimore game is not the playoffs, but they're probably... I personally don't believe there's a bigger game for the one seed on their whole schedule than week one. Let's go to Dennis in Lockport next. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. Great show. Didn't want to switch it up on you guys, but...
No, go ahead.
Seen a cut this weekend. Huntley being cut, and I kind of thought, why couldn't the Bills grab someone like him? Because when he backed up Lamar, when he's been able to do that job, he's a lot more efficient than a Trubisky. And
he's got a Pro Bowl.
We have here.
He did make right? a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here, you know, if we're gonna have a guy who's kind of like Allen, man, when he filled in for Lamar, he was very much like Lamar. So I want to get your guys' opinion on that. And by the way, I like that tight end punter. Maybe we should find him a position so we, in case our punter goes down, we have one.
Zach Davis. Thanks, Dennis, for the call. Zach Davis.
62 air yards.
I mean,
did you see the punt?
I did, yeah. It was a bomb.
You know that commercial on TV where the jaw...
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drops through, like, you know, seven floors of an apartment building. I don't know what the commercial is. I just remember that. That's kind of what my jaw did when I watched that punt.
Yeah.
The term uncorked is not dramatic enough for what that punt was.
Hey, they want to save a roster spot. Just, you know.
A 6'7 punter?
I mean, they barely punt anyway.
Yeah, right.
What's the difference?
Right. He could be your long-distance punter. You know, if you're backed up on your own, you know, 15-yard line, you need to uncork a 65-yarder, pull out Zach Davidson.
Yeah. The Bills generally, I think, would get around. When would they punt? I don't know. He looked good. Hey, there's a guy that's got to chase down a returner who gets through the whole return team, too. I think the tight end might be better for that than the punter.
Zach Davidson was a starting tight end and punter in college was definitely news to me.
I mean, wasn't that – I know when I played for Orchard Park, our punter was
high school.
Our right tackle.
Not in Division I.
No, probably not in Division I.
No,
by the time you get to college, I'm sure it's different.
Yeah, and like, you know, when you get to college, the kickers are like real kickers. They are barely athletes, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They're just skinny guys that
Huntley,
didn't want to play soccer anymore.
Huntley is not of interest to me really at all.
No.
He was not, he was a fine backup. He was not Lamar. I mean, he was 11 touchdowns, 10 picks in Baltimore.
And there's no offense better suited for him to walk in and be able to play than that Ravens offense.
And listen, he lost them a playoff game.
And he was in Miami last year?
He was in Miami last year.
They played him a few games because they had to cut Skylar Thompson because he was so bad.
Right.
And it didn't really – but also that offense clearly can't –
yeah,
can't be operated by anybody other than Tua.
I'm open to listening to backup quarterback ideas. Like, I wondered about Anthony Richardson last week until I realized he's got $9 million as a cap hit, which you're not doing.
No, absolutely not.
No, Tyler Huntley lost the Ravens a playoff game that forced the Bills to play the Bengals. The Bills wouldn't have played the Bengals. He reached for the goal line from like the three.
Fumbled.
Yeah, and they returned it to the house. Cincinnati, game over right then and there.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Also, he was available. I just looked. He was available. He signed with Cleveland on August 5th.
Mm-hmm.
He was available to the league
all
summer, and nobody brought him in until Cleveland had a bunch of injuries. So, no, I'm not really interested in
Cleveland
in
had injuries to all 15 of their quarterbacks and needed someone to come in.
Yep. Yeah. How confident are you in the Bills' defense going into week one against Baltimore? Confident, nervous, scared to death. What do you
nervous.
Think the percent, what do you think the percentages look like?
Confident, 24%.
16.
Okay. Nervous, 45%.
58%.
And I'm not good at math. So scared to death is 17%.
25%.
Okay. That's pretty close.
More people saying scared to death than confident, though. It's more of an exercise, though, in we're unsure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're unsure, especially with you're down to your fourth corner, probably starting if Trey White can't.
Right.
And nobody having any idea what Cole Bishop's going to look like.
Yeah.
Playing every snap in a big, meaningful regular season game. Although, I should look. Did he start against Baltimore last year?
He did. No. Yes.
Regular season?
He started against Houston. I don't know if he started the next week.
We all know he started against Houston.
Or was Houston Houston
was the next week. After Baltimore.
So I think he played in the Baltimore game.
He played 71% of the snaps, but he didn't start. So maybe...
Does Rapp go down in that game?
In the Baltimore game?
Yeah.
He does. Doesn't he try to tackle Derrick Henry?
Yes.
And because he's
dies.
A flying missile, he...
Yes.
Yeah, he goes down. Yeah, Bishop played 71% in that game against Baltimore.
What are those really big dogs? Like the big one. Is Newfoundland? Is that a big dog?
Yeah. Mastiffs.
Mastiff.
Is another one.
Derrick Henry's like a giant Mastiff running.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want to be in
there. What's Taylor Rapp?
A hare? Like a rabbit?
I thought you were going with another dog. A rabbit.
Just like a rabbit, like
a hare.
I
thought you would at least pick like a bulldog or something.
Yeah, like a, maybe like a French.
Or a beagle.
A Frenchie? Yeah. In comparison.
He's
like to a normal person... You know, Rapp is like a, you know.
I think you'd want
retriever.
A meaner dog than that, though, because he's getting kicked out of practice.
He is getting kicked out of practice. Yeah.
Not really. They sat him on the bench last week.
Maybe like a pit bull mix.
All right. Going up against a Mastiff head first.
I can't imagine what it's like trying to tackle Derrick Henry. On a one-on-one. He's running at full speed. What do you do? Because you don't want to turn into a meme. You don't want to be Josh Norman.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's the last thing you want.
But it'd be very easy. That play did not count, by the way.
Thank God.
The Josh.
For him. But
it doesn't matter.
Didn't matter. Damage was done.
Doesn't matter. It's
damage
still
was done.
A highlight that you see everywhere.
Is that maybe like the only highlight of something that just like didn't actually happen? Like it was...
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mahomes is still upset about the Kelce lateral play.
That's
not
right.
Being...
Yep. Still talks about it.
To Kadarius Toney.
Still talks about it.
Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're worried about their defense for week one specifically, we're under 2 weeks away and they're banged up. Trey White now, we're going to be monitoring his injury status throughout the week. It is, again, it's kind of amazing to me that he signed and I thought last year he looked better in Baltimore.
Yep.
He signs, and I'm thinking, all right, good depth for the rookie.
Sure.
And now it feels like, man, he better
Be ready.
He better be ready.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you might be
It sort of feels like, generally speaking, the state of some of their defensive positions, where you're like, man, it felt like at first they were okay here, but it feels like they should have did more.
Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number. We've got Sal coming up at 8:00. go over the 53-man roster as it stands and how it looks with one day to go tomorrow at 4 o'clock is what we're looking at for roster cutdowns. We will, though, see them. You'll see a list before that. Not like an official list, but we're compiling it. Adam Schefter had already a breakdown of who the Bills have already moved on from. Nobody that you would have thought was in line to make the team. Right.
Right.
Young at running back and Sokol at tight end. Just guys that you would expect to be the first names. The other thing we got to figure out is what Hard Knocks looks like tomorrow night. Do they have the cutdowns? Probably not, right?
Because no, it'd be next week.
It would be next week, unless...
Because there's two more episodes left. This one and next one.
They told us before the before it started,
yep,
that their turnaround time was
same day.
3 p.m. the same day.
Yeah.
That's before roster cutdown.
Wait, but is there two more episodes or is there only one more episode?
There's two more episodes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So there's five total.
Yeah.
So if they're already telling guys yesterday and today, hey, that's it, that's enough time for it to be on tomorrow's episode.
But then what would they have on the fifth episode? That's my question.
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have much material left?
No.
Yeah, that makes sense. They would save that for next week.
They'll go, I think they'll do what they did last week, which is the lead up into that game, the game itself. And I bet you this episode's going to feature a lot of Shane Bichelle.
Yeah.
And who would you say is going to be... Probably they haven't really touched on the Bishop thing.
No, they haven't. Whose story are they going to want to tell, though? That's the other way I've been looking at it.
Because they did Jamarcus Ingram last time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe more Jimmy Charlo?
I get another take on Hard Knocks to get to a little bit later.
Shavers.
It'll be Shavers. Yeah, they haven't done much on him yet.
Shavers. They haven't done any Keon Coleman.
No. I mean,
thought he would be just like a personality that they'd want to feature, and they haven't.
Yeah, I'll get you a thought on Hard Knocks later. I think this is the end for Hard Knocks. I think this is it.
You think that this one's gone so poorly for other people other than yeah. Bills fans?
Yeah. I think it's become far too much of this is just for that team's fans. That's not what Hard Knocks is supposed to be.
You're right.
The Bills could produce this.
But they won't.
Not this much of it.
No.
But it feels like let me put it this way. It feels like something the Bills could produce.
I think we are speeding towards an era where documentaries have become so scripted that they're not really documentaries.
Let's get to that later. Because that's one of the problems. I have a big problem with how many sports documentaries there are now and how all of them look.
They're like Hallmark movies.
That's great. Yes, exactly. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on Shavers, the 53-man roster, your confidence level for the Bills defense week one against Baltimore. Bishop looked a little bit better on Saturday, but still unsure on what that'll look like. Trey White injury updates we're still waiting on. So a lot to get to coming up. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today, and this is WGR.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.